for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 50 years in playing PlayStation and like 15 years in their games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live. We can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. And if you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watching on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, or comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Now, Max, before we went live, we were sitting here talking about The Last of Us Season 2. And how, like, 5 weeks in, you and I, you've watched some?
I've watched 40 minutes of the first episode.
Dear God. I have watched the first episode, and I believe that is it. Not for, like, a particular reason. Now, the main reason that I've not jumped into more Last of Us is, obviously, I know what's coming.
Yep.
I know what's happening, and that means I'm about to get my heart broken, and I'm about to have it torn out of my chest. And I've been very lucky, Max. It's a weird flex, but like I've been really good lately. Like my mental health has been like great. I've been happy. I don't need that sadness in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So that's why my reluctance to jump. And like, I know our original plan was we'll do three episodes and then we'll do a thing. Three. Well, granted, the numbers we did last time weren't that good. We've mentioned that before. And also, I don't know. It's just, yeah.
Sounds like someone needs to be knocked down a peg if they're so happy all the time.
Well, we're going to sort his fucking shit out. I miss Ryan when he was like miserable. That was awesome. So why haven't you been watching The Last of Us, Max?
I just want to watch it all at once.
Yeah, that's what program we're going to do.
I really dislike their streaming services have spoiled me. I really dislike this week-to-week nonsense. Because I'm just super forgetful. I will watch an episode and then a week later I'll be like, what the fuck happened?
Oh, yeah, that too. Oh, yeah. That may be like one of the most apt descriptions to explain both our brains when it comes to like consuming television. Like it just can't be done.
Yep.
Saying that though, I'm nearly at the end of I finally finished 30 Rock. I think I mentioned it last week. I don't remember. Funny that. but yes, finally in the last season of 30 Rock, it's taken me the better part of what feels like 10 years to finally get it done. And I'm very happy about it. Very happy about it. But, Max. Oh, sorry. Okay. I didn't realize you're off camera. I mean, you're just talking off camera. Is it all good?
Yeah. I'm like, what snake? What are you talking about? What about it?
All right. Those of you playing at home, we may have a snake concern.
There's no snake.
What is she talking about?
Up here,
yeah,
where my finger is, there is a walking stick or a cane that I've had for years, and it has a dragon head on it.
Oh, she just noticed it for the first time?
I think, well, it's only just arrived for the first time. Like, no, just come in, take over, whatever. Can you go to bed, please? That's busy.
Oh, it's like the old days.
My mum's had it for ages, and since she's down at the moment, I'm like, can you please bring it?
Because you'd like
down. So she finally bought it. So it's sitting up there, and Hadley, I think, has just noticed it. Ollie noticed it straight away. He's been running around with it, fucking Gandalf
whacking
style.
Whacking everything.
You shall not. Yeah, yeah.
Just nothing can pass. Shin's getting wrecked.
Yeah. But returning to the topic, I can't remember what I did yesterday, let alone what I watched a week ago to have some continuance. And as you aptly put, when I complained about it in our group chat, I also consumed The Last of Us 2 in a single sitting. So it's only fitting that I do the same thing with the TV series.
All right. Now, look, we may get new viewers here, there, and everywhere. Who knows? However, for those that may not remember, we all very kindly provided a review code of The Last of Us Part 2 ages ago, before it launched. It was lovely. We wanted to, get it done by embargo. Max, you're like, all right, pressure's on. This is, one of the first big, big reviews you had access to. And for whatever reason, you felt the need to play the game for the better part of 21 hours straight.
Well, what happened? I think because at that time we were recording
Saturdays or Sundays. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
For it to go up on a Monday.
Yeah.
I believe we got the game on the Tuesday.
Checks out.
And you were like, I really want it to be this episode. I said, okay.
We'll get embargoes, and they happen to line up really well for the first time.
So I couldn't play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So on Friday morning after work, I got up at 8 o'clock in the morning. My wife took my daughter at the time to Ballarat for the day. So from 8 o'clock in the morning until they arrived home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I played in one sitting. I got up to pee and I got up to make food. She got home. She's like, are you still playing? I'm like, yeah, I need to get it done. We're recording tomorrow. I've got to get it done. She's like, cool. She ordered me dinner, had her to bed, came and watched me till I finished the game at 2 o'clock that morning, the next morning. Went to bed, happy. Messaged Ryan the next day. I'm like, hey, man, fucking done it. I'm ready to go. And you're like, I barely touched it. I'm like, you fucking son of a bitch.
That is a story that I feel will live with me until the end of time. I think that will probably be hung on me by you forever. Absolutely valid, deservingly and it, so.
And it biased my opinion of that game so hard because I played it in a single sitting.
And I know.
I've never returned to it. I dabbled with the PC version when we were provided the code for PC, but I didn't play it through to fruition because it's a game that I can't go back to.
And even though
I burnt myself out in a single day.
Yeah, it was the choice that you made, and it's a choice that I have once or twice, I think I've done it in my games media career, for lack of a better term. I pretty confidently, maybe once, maybe twice, where I need to crunch this review, but never to that extent. 21 hours, I don't think I have the attention span to do that. It's genuinely impressive.
I think I've done it with one, maybe two other games.
Yeah.
That I've really enjoyed. I've just gone ham on them.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't happen all that often, but anyway, what's been happening this week outside? Because that was years ago. What's been happening this week?
My mum's dead at the moment, so I've just been hanging out with her.
How is old Nana Kay?
Yeah, no, she's good. So she deliberately came down not on school holidays, so she can have some one-on-one time with Ollie without Hadley butting in and getting all soup jelly. And then so once Hadley's home, she spends all her time with Hadley and...
It's fair.
So yeah, it's been good. She's good. She's hanging out with the kids. So she's here till Saturday. Mm-hmm. Driving her back to Melbourne on Saturday. Other than that, I drove to Melbourne Wednesday morning to pick my mother up. And then the next morning, I drove to Ballarat first thing in the morning to get my car serviced. Friday morning, I was supposed to drive to Ballarat again to get my our other car serviced. But when I got there, he's like, my sister-in-law was supposed to be going up that day as well. And I'm like, well, are you going to be able to fit two cars in before 3 p.m.? Because we've all got to get back to pick up kids from school. He's like, yeah, probably not. I'm just going to do first in, best dress. I'm like, what if I just bring my car up next week?
Yeah.
And he's like, does Tuesday work? I'm like, yeah, Tuesday's great. Hence why we're recording early tonight, so yeah. I can go to work early, come home early, sleep a little bit more. Because I had to pull over on the side of the road Thursday on the way home because I was falling asleep. So I pulled over for 10 minutes, had a quick snooze, and back on my way. And I don't want that to happen.
I'm impressed again. That you could do that. Like for myself, if I ever try to stop and have like a snooze, it's never a snooze. Like I'm gone for about an hour. Like I can't do a 10, 15 minute. Like I'm out and I'm gone.
Well, I had to lie down on the couch this afternoon because Ollie had a 3-hour nap today.
Hey!
Well, like I lied down and all of a sudden I was just gone and it was 2 hours later. I'm like, whoa, what happened?
Everyone was snoozing.
Where'd that go? Mm. Yeah. What about yourself? What have you been up to?
Not much for me. Obviously, Mother's Day was this weekend. Happy Mother's Day to out there to everyone, you big mothers, especially you big mother.
Yeah.
So it was lovely. We had James over. It was my scheduled weekend as we when I split custody between my ex-wife and myself. So Saturday we went and snuck off, and we had a lovely Mother's Day breakfast for Phoebe, my partner, so my son's stepmom. this is the first year that James is aware where Phoebe sits in his world, in his family. Like probably a couple months ago, I remember getting a phone call from him being like, hey, I'm like, yeah, bud. He goes, is Phoebe my stepmom? I'm like, yeah, sort of. Why? Oh, because one of my friends said that my stepmom came and picked me up because Phoebe picked him up because I was working a wrestling show. And he goes, why didn't you tell me? I'm like, well, bud, like it's, you know, I knew you. I thought you would realize in time, and we didn't want to overcomplicate it. We just wanted to keep it simple. But James was really happy, and he was like quite excited to have a stepmom. So this is the first Mother's Day where he's been able to sort of have two mums to share it with. And that was really lovely. So we went and snuck off and got some presents for her, and we made the choice to play all silly and pretend we got her nothing, even though we got her something. Phoebe knew, but that was part of the fun. And then he went back to his mum's on Saturday night because we have an agreement between his mum and myself that it's Mother's Day, it's Father's Day. They wake up at that person's house. That's just fair. It's just nice, right? So we did that. But then James kindly invited Phoebe and myself to share his Mother's Day plans with Millie. They went to Rollaway, which is a rollerblading, roller skating little rink here in town, in Geelong. Did pretty good. First time on a pair of skates in the better part of, what am I now, 35, 10 to 13 years? Like I haven't gone probably since my early 20s, even late teens, probably more accurately. Actually, no, it would be. It would absolutely be my teens. So let's say I'm on 35, let's put 15 years on it, minimum. Still got it. Only on skates, though. I can't do blades. Yeah, it was all right. I'm impressed with the muscle memory. Like, cause I know for yourself, as a rollerblader from way back, and I know you spent a lot of time rollerblading with Millie.
I used to live at Rollaway, essentially. I think I was there every single weekend for the better part of like 3 years.
Yeah,
I wish I was joking, but I'm
and
not.
You can tell, and you can tell that like that Millie joined you for most of that time because she was just tearing up that place, while like myself and James were all like, Millie's like, pew, just like doing laps, she's having a blast. To my credit, I stacked twice. First one was all right. Second one fell directly. you know when someone falls so hard that like their shoe comes off and you're like, damn, that was a big stack. Now, granted, I was wearing skates, so I was strapped in. That wasn't going to happen. So instead, I landed so hard that it rocketed my glasses across like about 2 meters off my face. and it only really hurt my ass. So like kind of, where my, like, not my coccyx, but, like, not my lower back. It's a little bit up on my upper left cheek, kind of on the ridge of my hip bone. It fucking kills. Like, it kills. It's one of those things where, like, it's once I get up and I start moving, it's fine. But that movement blows. It was not very fun, and it hurt a lot. Still fun though, very very fun.
Yeah, I haven't been for a hot minute. I know my sister-in-law took our nieces on the school holidays, and apparently it cost her a fortune.
Really?
Apparently it's real expensive now. Maybe they just jacked up the prices for school holidays.
How expensive is expensive? Like, how much was it for you back in the day?
I think I used to pay $5 because I had my own skates. So $5 would get me entry to the rink and the skate park.
Oh, well, the skate park's not there anymore. The back area is now a training rink and some, like, a little lounge area. It is certainly more than $5. It's like 18.
Yeah, I think she said it cost her $80 for three kids with skate hire.
That doesn't make sense.
I think she may have gone as well. So $20 each for four people puts it at 80.
Yeah, about $20. Yeah, because with skate hire, it's about $21.
Yeah, that's so expensive. It used to be $5 entry, $3 for a pair of skates. So it was like $8 to $10.
Well, the skates are still $3, but it's 18 to 21.
To get in, gross. That's so gross.
It is, but that's for 2 hours, or you pay like $2 more and you can be in there all day, which I couldn't do because my body would give out immediately. Like,
inflation, baby.
Oh, yeah, inflation like a motherfucker. Like, that is a lot of money just to roll around a rink.
Well, to be fair, I wasn't even skating enough. I'd pay entry and I would sit around for an hour and a half and maybe skate for 20 minutes.
But at the same time, like, that's not a bad thing. Like, schools are, like, sorry, kids these days are absolutely missing what's, you know, those third spaces, right? Like, there's a space that's like your home, your work, which in this case them is home and school. And there's a third space that we commonly hang out at. And we all have one. And we kind of need one in order to, like, fulfill our social needs as people. So to have a space where you, like, even if you're there for 2 hours and, like, fucking 20 minutes of skating, like, that's just third space. That's somewhere to go hang out. That doesn't really exist. Like, there's no community hubs, etc. Like that.
I mean, by the end of it, I think by the end of year 12, when I was still doing it, I think there was like 20 of us going.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Like, that's cool, right?
I fractured my leg there.
I could imagine you would. I'm pretty sure I've busted my butt. You should check it out. It's a big crack in it. It's fucked up. But yeah, look, that's probably the main thing that happened to me this week. But let's get into the section where we talk about the games that we have been playing. Because look, we spend our week doing these things, that, the other, and that's all fun. But let's get into what we've been playing. Now, we didn't have this go up at embargo for a couple of reasons. So a big thank you to the team over at Bethesda Australia and Power Up PR. Max and I were provided a review code for Doom, the Dark Ages. That the embargo for that was Monday? No. Friday? Today's Monday. It was Friday. So the game...
It was midnight Friday into Saturday.
So heading into Saturday. So for us, the short answer was neither Max nor I had got far enough in the game to confidently have something go out and embargo. So as of right now, neither you or I have finished it. However, I'm nowhere near finished it, neither are you. So you consider this kind of your first impressions of Doom the Dark Ages. Now, I'll likely have, ideally have it finished by, say, next week for the show.
I should have it finished by next week.
Because, to put it simply, I'm thoroughly enjoying this game, like, as to be expected, right? Excuse me, why I readjust, because my ass hurts.
I would have been way further through this game had I not fuck ass around trying to unlock every single secret on a level before I move on.
That is also true for me. So, Max... as we always do when we do our reviews, I throw to you, for some reason, you seem to be most of the time more coherent than I am. Doom the Dark Ages, what's the beat?
Okay, so Doom the Dark Ages is a prequel to Doom 2016, and we're following essentially the Doomslayer's rise to prominence, to power, how they are throughout the rest of the games, as he becomes the last hope of a kingdom fighting against the forces of hell. The game's fun.
Yeah.
The game is so much slower paced than the other games, though, and I don't know if I like that aspect of it.
Before we get into that, let's explain what has changed to make it feel more slower. So Doom 2016 was kind of the stepping stone of the soft reboot for Doom.
Yep.
They kept a lot of that fast, frenetic shooting, but very similar to its original origins in like that boomer shooter sort of space. It was still very like, you know, camera, no zoom in, locked in, not a lot of verticality outside of like moving up sort of different levels, but you know, whatever. In Doom Eternal, they then cranked it up a whole lot harder. They really swung into that fluidity and that just movement. And like when I played Doom Eternal,
you had dashes and double jumps, aerial dashes, all kinds of like movement based gameplay.
In Doom Eternal, you do not stop moving constantly. You are forever frantically just fanging it around the maps.
Well, the game punishes you for not moving because the only way to heal and regenerate is to move forward pushing.
Yeah, it's a glory kill, so run in, punch him, that's where you'll get your health, and you can just sort it. Like the game rewarded you for continuously moving. Here in Doom the Dark Ages, although there is still like that somewhat verticality, but it's very reminiscent of Doom 2016 and like whether you can climb things, but you can't like as of yet. There's not a lot. There's no grapple hook. There's no swinging. There's none of that speed as of yet. Now, Max, can you speak to that?
Oh, yeah, there is. So very, very shortly after where you're up to with the new shield implementation, there are places in walls where you can throw your shield.
Oh, wait, no, I've done that.
And then you can kind of jump, run and jump to your shield.
Within battle, as in like he's a grapple hook and you can swing within that like arena that you're shooting. There are traversal mechanics with the shield. So that's the big thing. You would have seen this in the trailer. The shield is the newest addition to Doom. So Doom the Dark Ages, it is going for a more Middle Ages sort of feel with reminiscent of shield and like a big fur cape and a flail, which I just unlocked, which is sick. So there's a lot of that imagery. There's a lot of castles, a lot of temples, which is in line with Doom's visual feel and flow. However, they've gone a little bit harder into that side of it. So we're not in this technosphere that we sort of see in Doom 2016. We are in this very old style feeling space. However, there is a lot of technology that exists. It's just not as industrial feeling as the first. The major difference with the shield is that many enemies now will shoot at you, but they will shoot colored beams or bullets.
Projectiles is the word you're looking for. You good? I got you.
Thank you. Green projectiles. So with that, the shield has the ability to deflect any of the green projectiles. So a lot of the time, you do spend more time sort of ducking, dodging, shooting until you can see a projectile, you bing it back, and then they're able to keep going. For yourself, Max, how are you finding this change in gameplay to kind of keep you more grounded and be a little bit more defensive as this Doom Slayer?
It's great. I really enjoy it. the addition of like the quote unquote parry of the shield has been great. It kind of all throughout Doom, you have the same situation where you are introduced to a new mechanic because a new monster has arrived or a new demon has arrived. It shows you how to kill that demon, and that's pretty much the best way to do it. With the addition of the shield, it kind of allows you to play however you want to, because the shield, like you said, it will parry certain colored projectiles. It will parry certain colored melee abilities. You have the ability to throw the shield and embed it into the demons to stun them, allowing you to kind of whittle a rot.
Commonly the bigger enemies,
as needed. Throughout the game, you are able to upgrade those things by using currency you find throughout the game. So I've actually almost completely decked out my shield tree, mm-hmm. and that is almost the only weapon I use now. If I don't have to shoot something, I will just throw my shield and clear a whole room because my shield bounces between enemies now. and it has a wider hit detection, like a wider hitbox now. So I can walk into a kill room, and if it's just filled with trash mobs, I can just throw it, Captain America style, and it just fucking kills everything in the room, and then I just get all my health back and shield back. It's brilliant. You can just hold your shield up as an actual shield and all block all incoming damage, but your shield has its own health bar, which regenerates over time. So it allows you to play more defensively, because like every other Doom game, health is scarce, armor is scarce, and to get it back, you need to push forward. You need to get those kills. So they've taken away your ability to dodge left, right, up and down as in previous titles. And now you have to stand there and block it. You are more of like a, like you said, a tank as opposed to a...
You're an immovable object compared to like...
Yeah, so it does change the way... It has changed the way I play... I've approached this game compared to previous titles. You do feel much slower. It's a more methodical in how you tackle those kill rooms. It's no less chaotic, though, because the enemies are still just as fast, so you have to be aware that... you know, you have to put your shield up. Now, the game is very generous in its difficulty settings. To the point
there's
where you
five options, I believe.
I think there's five or six options by default, but then you can go in and change individual things anyway. So if you want the game to be super hard, but you want parrying to be easier, you can set it to the hardest difficulty and change your parry window inside the options.
So from an accessibility standpoint, that's incredible.
It does really
for a game like Doom, which is game.
It does really allow you to play the game how you want to enjoy it.
Absolutely. And from an accessibility standpoint, games like Doom, which are very fast and frenetic, there is a skill deficit. Absolutely. Like not quite like to a Dark Souls space, like or a Soulsborne space, where like that ability from good to, you know, that like that entry skill gap is very, very strong. With Doom, it is certainly there. And if you don't have that ability to play smoothly with two sticks... Where someone like, say, my partner Phoebe, for her, there is no way she could play this game. No way. It's too quick. It's too, even with the slowed down, the slowed down gameplay speed, quote unquote, of Dark Ages compared to like 2016 or Returnal. For her, like, there's too much going on at any given time, too many things. She doesn't have like that dexterity or that coordination. Not for a lack of ability, just for not having played for like 30 years like you are.
Yeah. Level design is much the same as it has been in previous titles, where you're essentially playing a fairly linear path. You'll do some traversal, you'll hit a kill room, you'll do some traversal, you'll hit a kill room. There's still that backtracking of, hey, I found purple key number one, and I can go and unlock this that I found a while back, or blue key, or I've broken this, and now this opens up this path to go and collect a secret treasure or whatever. So there's still those collectibles that you can find and all of that, which gives you something extra to look for. And they obviously all have helpful upgrades and whatnot when you collect them, whether it be bonus health, bonus shield, extra ammo in the clip for guns.
But what I've also noticed as well, now as you mentioned about finding items throughout the world, now I have more to say about like the things we've already covered, so I'll come back to them in time. I found that the collectibles in Dark Ages feel more abundant. So previously, I always found it was lore books, like lore pages, I should say. It was little figures and like gold. No, we didn't have gold previously. Yeah, it was lore books, secret rooms, figures, and the upgrades. Where here, there's areas, there's books, there's upgrades, there's skins, because like for this, granted in previous years they've had skins, and look, don't get me wrong, in Eternal or 2016, there may have been skins. I remember unlocking some, fucked if I know how I did it. Now in hindsight, I imagine it was collectibles, but as of right now, as I'm playing this, I feel I'm finding more, and differently... Like, or in the location at which it is, it's just a purple blur with a question mark on it. You pick that up and it goes, yeah, this one. Where previously I remember finding like the little figure somewhere and you grab the figure rather than grabbing a miscellaneous item. I am enjoying the backtracking and just wandering around the world to find these things. So at the moment, where I am now, I've experienced two what I would refer to as FOPEN worlds. We've talked about this before. FOPEN world as in F-A-U-X, faux as in fake. This is a term that I saw and I really jumped on around Uncharted, not 4, what was after? The Lost Legacy, where you would go into that moment of Africa and you're in this open world, quote unquote, where you can go do these particular events and little moments.
So you have like explorable zones.
Yeah.
So kind of like a Destiny style where you go to a location, it's open, but to go to the next spot, you have to go back out into...
Yeah, it's actually probably a good example with Destiny. Like, so I enjoy that here. Pardon me, like right now it's like, hey, you're here, go do sick. Like the moment I think go destroy 5 hell gates. I was like, okay. So you just kind of go wherever you want, do them in any order you want. That's fun. Outside of that kind of more standard level design that we're seeing, there are some additional, I guess, systems, for a lack of a better term, or levels here, and they include using vehicles, I guess. There is a dragon that you can use. It's got like a jetpack on it. It's got big honking wings. You would have seen it in the trailer. It looks sick. How did you find the new addition of the dragon? And then we'll get to the Gundam, like the mech.
Oh, the vehicles. Yeah, this is the first time we've been able to pilot vehicles in a Doom game.
It feels that way. Yeah. So we'll go the dragon first, then we'll talk the mech, because the mech's sick.
The dragon's cool. So that was the first level that kind of was long. Like, a lot of the levels up until that point have been like, I think I knocked them out in about 30 minutes, not 35 even, minutes. Yeah. Not even, yeah. This one,
once you start ripping like and tearing, you know.
This one's because the game gives you waypoints of like where to go. I flew up and it's like, hey, there's one 2,000 over there, 2,000 over there. I'm like, oh my god! Luckily, the Cyber Dragon fucking flies on a dime, you can fang it. And I also think I wasted a lot of time on that level because there are so many optional things to go and do in that area. But it's kind of cool. It's very simplistic. Like, it's still, you know, like any other flying thing. You have free flying, you can kind of turn on a dime, which is nice. There's some mini games around chasing down speeding enemy cruise ships and blowing them up for gold, which is nice. And essentially it's just you fire the mounted machine gun turret and it gives you the aerial dodge back. So yep. if you successfully dodge a green projectile, you will have an enhanced...
A plasma shot.
You'll have enhanced bullet damage, which allows you to break the shields. Like, the game explains why you need to do this.
At least in this level, the mechanics within the dragon sections are relatively straightforward. It's a great way to demonstrate scale as you are just flying, just absolutely fanging.
Oh, yeah.
through these incredible tunnels and set situations, and you're flying over this giant city. Felt very Helm's Deep, weirdly enough. As you're then tasked to go and take down these battleships. However, you can't destroy the battleships from the Cyber Dragon. That you've got to go in, you've got to like line up with the turret, dodge it, shoot it. Like, that is kind of monotonous, but it's effective. It's best sort of combat you're going to get on the thing. Land, go in, destroy everything with inside it, explode the ship, jump back on your dragon, skadoodle off to the next one. But thankfully, the beauty of these is, like, these aren't really spoilers, because these are some of the things you can do in the first like 5 missions. The third mission is where it gets really fun. Once again, you would have seen in alongside the trailer, you had your Cyber Dragon. Now, I don't know what the exact term is here. I'm just going to refer to it as like the Hell Gundam, right? Like, or like the Hell Mech.
It's an Atlan mech.
Atlan mech. It is essentially a Gundam, a giant ass mech. It's a Megazord of fucking Doom slaying. So you jump in it and then you just like fisticuffs big fuck off demons. And it's pretty straightforward. It's punch, punch, punch. punch until the meter goes half, we get a sweet stomp, that like sort of a power move, or you go all the way and you get a big honking power move. So I was playing this with my son. Does that make me a bad parent? Probably. But he was
I kicked Hadley out. I'm like, you can't watch this, go away.
Well, he only mostly came in and saw like the big mech stuff. And he's like, that's like a game I play on my iPad. I was like, what do you mean? He shows me his iPad and he has this like kaiju fighting game. And it's similar as it's like just dodge and punch and then build up special. I'm like, hey, that kind of is like that iPad game. All right. Here you go, bud. Gave him the controller. Next thing you know, there's like six dead demons. Like, damn. Like Titan demons, like big bastards. Like, well done, James. Well done. But like, I quite like that as just a switch, just to add, once again, more scale. As id have gotten bigger and better over the many, many years, and as the consoles have become more powerful and there's more capability, having something like this, which is just to purely demonstrate the scalability of Doom as a game, and although you're not like traversing outside of, you know, your shield traversal mechanics or using it as a mechanism to open particular doors, whatever, this is like, this feels huge. Like you walk with a thud, with the dual sense, like the vibration feels fantastic. Like you really feel the weight in that swing. I love it. What about yourself?
And like it does break up the monotony of the regular gameplay. Like although playing the normal levels is chaotic and frantic and fast paced, after a while, once you very quickly realize that like all Doom games, it is literally corridor traversal, kill room, corridor traversal, kill. It does get
similar.
I don't want to say stale, but like it gets predictable, maybe is the term. And obviously each kill room is different and chaotic, and you know, depending on which enemy fruit salad they throw at you in any particular room, it changes how you need to tackle each room. Because if there's just those flying head fucks, you can kind of just take them out with anything. But if they're those, you know, spider wankers that take forever to kill, or the warg riding motherfuckers that shoot you with bows, and you've got to it's different enough that it doesn't get old. But it becomes like, oh, I know what's going to... I know that, you know, the music kicks in when you enter the room. You're like, okay, this is clearly an arena room. It's massive. Yeah. There's a few different levels. This is the go zone. I'm not just kind of going through... Yeah, repetitive.
So, mute in the chat says repetitive. Repetitive is probably the best way to explain it.
Yeah.
But the difficulty, I guess, using that as the descriptor...
I wouldn't say that it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just... Like I said, because obviously every kill room you need to tackle differently, it is just a nice change of pace to be like, hey, you're in a open world level, you can fly around and fuck shit up from the air, or you're in a giant mech, you can just bust some people. Yeah. It's a fighting game now.
Look, it's a good palate cleanser, especially when we know there's like, what, 33 levels?
Yeah.
So like over that, like some of a varying length and et cetera. We'll touch on music later because that's a big thing within the Doom skills. But earlier you were discussing difficulty level. What are you playing on?
Whatever the middle.
Yeah, which is Give Me Plenty, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm in the same boat.
And I have changed no other settings. I just went, give me the what you deem to be normal mode.
Yeah, same. I went with right down the middle, like essentially the medium. Couple of reasons. One, you know, commonly medium is how the developers intended the game to be experienced, so that's what I go with. For my time playing this game, it is delivering me exactly what I want in a Doom experience, or an experience like this. I feel that my health and my shield are constantly low, in a good way, as in I am constantly being pushed and I have to keep moving and I've got to get those pickups and I've got to get the shield. I've got to get the, like it's, I feel like it is actively supporting that intense pace, which is a great term, once again, dropped by, by Mute in the chat. I got to keep that pace going. And when I do finish that kill room, boy, do I feel a sense of relief. You're like, oh, hell yeah. I love it. But there is one little addition to Doom the Dark Ages, I don't believe it's existed before, is the introduction of life sigils. So in particular areas of part of these secret areas, you can find a life sigil, which is the simplest example. It's a second life. It's a third life. It's the resurrection stone in God of War.
It's the gold mask of Devil May Cry.
Yeah, it's the gold mask of the Devil May Cry. Like, you die and it just goes, hey, you're dead. Do you want to use a life sigil? Like, you don't fall and die. You just stop in your tracks. Because screen comes and goes, hey, you're dead. I'm like, oh.
And then my dumb ass goes, no, I've only got one. No.
Yeah.
Start again.
So for yourself, Max, as we're discussing the difficulty, and are you in a similar boat? Like, are you feeling that pressure?
Oh, I'm constantly on low life, but that's because I don't shoot anything.
Yeah.
And that's by choice. I find the game to be fair. So, you know, if you were...
It's hard, but fair, yeah.
Yeah, if you were to play it the intended way and you kind of use the shield to, like, break the shields of enemies like you're supposed to and use your guns in the correct way, you'd be fine. And like I said, you know, when it gives you a new gun or a new piece of equipment, it then throws the enemy that piece of equipment or that gun is for, and you can kill it really quickly. Mm. But I'm like, I don't want to use the plasma rifle to break the shield. I'm going to use something different because I prefer shooting that gun and I like the feel of it more. So
the trouble with that, sorry, keep going, I'll jump in.
So currently, with the quick swap system, you can run two guns at any time, but you have access to a wheel of guns at any given time. But if you hit the quick swap button, it just goes between two of them.
I think six? No, eight.
Eight. And then each gun has an alternate fire by holding down square, and it changes the way the gun works. So I'm currently using the super shotgun because I like being able to just shoot them once, and that's it. That's all I have to do. It takes like 5 seconds to reload the bastard after one shot, but it's fun. And the other gun I use is the Impaler because you get bonus damage on headshots.
That's like a sniper rifle, yeah?
Yeah, essentially. So I just use those two guns, and if I can't break their shields in a quick fashion, I will just continuously throw my shield at them because the shield also deals damage because of the way I spec'd it on the skill tree. Or I run up and, you know, punch them in the face.
Yeah, so for myself, it was one of the things that I forgot the most when we reviewed Eternal back in the day, was that different weapons are more effective on particular individuals. Yep. I forget that constantly, and I just go with whatever one I feel the most. Now, that's only because I'm sort of playing in smaller little stints rather than in one session. If it was one session, I'd remember what would be best over here, what would be best over there, because I just kind of do it drop in, drop out. And the level structure at which this game is set up, because once you finish the level, it does give you the option. Do you want to go back to the main menu or you just want to go into the next level? So you can always opt out at the end of any level. There's no... It feels very old school in that sense, as in level. Even though for the longest time, Doom has had that level structure, but it has nicely like flowed through. So you just move from one to the other.
And then at the bottom, it tells you the progress of that level. And you're like, I finished that level. 17%. It's like, I miss so much stuff.
That I find most fascinating, right, is just the idea of that. No, I went to mute myself to cough, and I'm not sure, because doesn't mute you, so I'm unsure how muted I was for the recording, but we'll find out. Absolutely. Like, that I really, really enjoy. Like, I'm just having such a blast. From the weapons, I quite like the plasma gun. I've got the second version, so it's like that double barrel, like boom, 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 just blasting shit.
Yeah.
The pulverizer is a blast. That's the gun that you would have seen in the trailers. It just crushes skulls and shoots skull debris at things.
Oh, it's the shock. It's the kind of widespread shotgun.
Essentially, yeah.
It was so funny. The room it gives you is just a bunch of trash mobs. It's like, hey, you can just mow these down. And I went, or I can throw my shield and clear the whole room in one throw.
Yeah.
Save all my ammo.
Yeah, I did that too. And then I was like, they cleared the room. Like, I felt pretty quick. I don't know whether that was the correct thing to do. But yeah, so like their parts, thoroughly love all that. The big thing here for me, Max, this is the first game within the new rebooted Doom to not include Mick Gordon on the soundtrack. Now, for those of you who may not know, Mick Gordon is an incredible musician and composer. it would have been PAX 2016, PAX 2017 maybe. One of the first panels I ever had gone to at PAX Australia, and it was Mick Gordon, because he is an Aussie, and he essentially sat at the front of the room with his nine-string guitar, that weird Russian synthesizer that he had, and he just went through and essentially gave a keynote on how we built the Doom soundtrack. And it was one of my favorite things to have ever seen. I loved it. Because I'm a big metal fan. I love me some good chugs. Like that, like nu metal, genty, hardcore-y sort of space. Big fan. So here, because if anyone has followed the journey that Mick Gordon had with Doom Eternal, you understand why that relationship has so tarnished that that wasn't going to continue for Doom the Dark Ages. Let me see if I can Doom the Dark Age. Actually, hang on. If I do this, if I go here. Sorry, I'm just having a look. I want to correctly... Finishing Move Incorporated is the name of the team that did the music for for Doom the Dark Ages. Immediately, the first thing I notice is that the music is a lot deeper in the mix. In 2016 and Doom Eternal, the music was front and center. It's the main thing you heard. Anytime you went into that kill room, you knew it was coming because you hear that like dun, 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 like that real sort of like marching chugging sound, that real heavy. I think it's like a drop B guitar. The thing is deep. We're here. You hear it, but it's in the back. It's like not in the front. It's kind of, people talk about soundtracks or scores for a music for movies or games, whichever, and they consider the ones you don't notice are the best ones because they build atmosphere without drawing attention. I would argue that Doom the Dark Ages is impacted with the lack of a Mick Gordon soundtrack. However, Finishing Move Inc., from my experience so far, they match the tone, but don't quite match the energy. Or maybe vice versa. No, it's vice versa. No, it is that. Because the chugs are there, the heaviness is there, but it doesn't feel the same. And whether it be that the inclusion of that weird-ass Russian synth that gave that real, like, demonic, low-end bass, like, industrial hum. But that also wouldn't make sense here. It's the Dark Ages, right? It's fantasy feeling. It's not like all, like, flutes and fucking tavern... flutes, fiddles, and tavern music. It is still heavy, but it's just more of a harder rock or a harder metal than that real industrial synthesizer laden tone. Because I don't really know what your music genre of choice is these days.
I have been playing this Doom, listening to my own Spotify playlist.
Yeah, I was going to ask, but yeah, how are you finding it? But there's your answer.
It is so much fun killing demons to Walking on Sunshine. It will never get old. it's fine. It is different, like you said. Whether or not that is the fact that you have had that love and that experience with that composer, therefore you kind of a little bit biased to a degree. And knowing you, the answer is probably definitely.
Yes.
I'm not saying that this soundtrack is bad. It definitely...
I agree with you. I wouldn't say it's bad either.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just, it's different. It's that uncanniness of like, you're so close, but there's just something.
Yeah, same, but different.
It's not that something's off. It's like, it feels like something's missing.
Yeah.
As opposed to something that's there that shouldn't be. There's a little lacking of something. I don't know what that is, but if it was there, I would know, yeah. I guess. But yeah, currently I'm kind of just playing it with my own own music in the background anyway.
Moving into the, because like we're already an hour deep into the show pretty much. And we're like, oh, it's gonna be a quick show, and then we talk about Doom for 45 minutes, which is fine by me because Doom's brilliant. But about the story, because we touched upon like, because with Doom being such a gameplay first series, it feels weird to be like, oh, to talk about the story first.
Still don't know what's going on.
But the understanding that I have so far,
I don't remember what happened in Doom 2016 or Doom Eternal.
Okay, so
I have no memories of those games.
The beginning of Doom 2016, essentially the Doom Slayer is woken up from an eternal sleep. He's in this tomb, he's in this coffin, they bust open, and then he just starts tearing shit up. Here, in Doom of Dark Ages, you are the Doom Slayer. You are under the control of the makers. They are like the religious figures within this world. You are on their like very clearly cross in Catholic inspired fucking ship in the sky. It looks like a giant cross in the sky. You get launched to the earth whenever the demonic presence is so insane that they just send you out in order to do it. Then they bring you back up. The hurdle that I have is this is a really great way to deliver level by level by level storytelling, which is what they are doing here. There is a through story, but every time you get launched, you are in a new area. Weirdly, a lot of the same people are there, and the story is continuing. Pardon, but you are not seeing the transitional moments. You get plonked in under the control of the makers. You have all of your memories gone. The only thing that is left within you is your hatred for the demons. That's it. So they throw you in, let you just fucking kill shit, and they pull you back.
Did you mention fairly early on that the strength of the tether seems to be fading? Yeah. Or that the...
Yeah, they need to crank the intensity of the tether because you, as the Doom Slayer, are just so almighty and powerful that you cannot be kept in chains. That's the beginning setup for it. That's probably the only thing that challenges me is because it is done that way. It does feel disjointed as you're going to these new locations. Then there's this that captain dude, the king guy, and he's carrying like this necklace of an artifact that has the last known soul of a wraith in it or something. Like you see him a lot. Be like, well, how do you fit in all of this?
You see the demonic prince a few times.
Yeah, he looks sick, by the way.
And he has some witch slag telling him what to do, and everyone else is like, she seems like a bit of a douche.
Yeah, she doesn't seem very fun.
There seems to be clearly be some infighting on the demon side as well.
I kind of like it's means to an end, right? Like it's just the thing that travels the game, that pushes that gameplay forward. Let's go to why I clear my throat. Was there anything else that you would like to touch upon, Max, for Doom the Dark Age? Now, granted, as we haven't finished
Not at the moment, purely because I haven't finished it yet.
Yeah, like these are deep first
I think it's a first impression we've done fairly.
Yeah. Look, from where I sit, I'm thoroughly enjoying it, and I knew I would. It's one of those games that when it was announced, I was like, yeah, I'm in. What's it going to be? Don't care. I'm in. And outside of that first initial trailer, I had no idea what I was getting into. And I did that consciously as well. It's very, like, the difficulty that we have as being in the industry as long as we have, even as tangentially as we are, it's connected to it. You do get cynical over time. And as we are required, quote unquote, to watch the trailers, to experience it, to see the conferences, very rarely do we just get the luxury of enjoying something for entirely what it is. Being able to see that first trailer and go, sick. And then it wasn't until I got the email from Power Up PR being like, hey, Doom's out soon. I'm like, oh my God, Doom's out soon. And having that, being able to have that like organic, just very real, oh shit, this is going to be fun, is awesome. And I really appreciate being able to have that now. It's a similar feeling to that, which is coincidentally a Bethesda game, that I got from playing Oblivion. Because it was out of nowhere, it's just pure excitement and pure excitement and joy for the new thing to experience. Would you any final thoughts before we jump into what's going on?
No, I think covered it pretty well.
Beautiful. Let's see.
If you like Doom, the game is still Doom. Like it's still very much a Doom game.
Oh yeah, look, if you like Doom, play it. If you don't like Doom, probably don't play it. But like you are going to be in for a good time. Like if you look at all the scores that are seeing right now, very high, very strong. Having not finished yet, I don't know whether it's going to be in a Game of Year conversation. I think for you, it's going to take a lot to probably dethrone Clair Obscur.
Yeah, look, I think I'm going to have a really tough time at the end of the year between Clair Obscur Expedition 33,
Death Stranding.
My time with Split Fiction, and Death Stranding 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Mm. On the Beach Boys.
It's going to be rough. Yeah, on the Beach Boys. It's going to be rough.
All right. Well, outside
thankfully, GTA 6 is no longer in that conversation.
Oh, man. I'm so, like, both happy and sad about that still. Has there been anything else you played this week, Max?
No, not at all.
No, me either. I did get a review code for a fun-looking game called Cash Cleaner Simulator. And the idea is essentially you work for a mob and you just need to create elaborate ways to, like, launder cash.
Launder the money.
Okay. I haven't, like, I got the code. I haven't played it yet. I haven't even claimed the code just because I knew with the amount of things we've got going on at the moment, like title games, etc. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to stick with it. I'll come back to it shortly. But that game is out. It's on like Steam. It's a PC game. I have been dicking about still with Blue Prince. Loving it so much further now. Have all the permanent upgrades. I sussed out like this microchip thing. That was really cool. I finally ran power to the lab. That was awesome. Craig, friend of the show, The Mullet Show, he has found the 46th room, and collectively we are sharing tips with one another, but we are not telling each other the answers. We may like shepherd one another to be like, hey, this was kind of hard to get to, try going over here, try looking at this, but we'll never like spoil it for one another. So I helped him get to the basement, and then from there he's been able to get to wherever. Right now I am stuck because I need the RNG gods need to work in my favor. I was able to get it this afternoon when I finished work. I came home, played it for a little bit. I was able to get the boiler room, which is that potentially runs power, and you can run it any adjacent room. There's power lines at the top of the room, and I was able to run it to the lab and unlock something cool through that. But I need to get the pool and then the boiler room, and then off the boiler room I need to have the pump room. There's a couple RNG steps I need to get to do the last thing that will get me to room 46. At least my understanding of what would get me to room 46. And even then, and apparently, that's just the fucking start. Like, you can get to room 46, roll credits, and it's like, hey, guess what? There's so much more. So in the chat, regular listener of the show, regular contributor over here on twitch.tv/popculturist, Mute jumps in and goes, oh, how is that game? Let us know if it's any good. Blue Prince is fucking awesome. It is an absolute trap, and I swear to God, it consumes my brain whenever I'm near it or I'm around it, or I played it yesterday or I'm playing it tomorrow. Like, it consumes my thoughts because it is truly a game where as you explore the world and see it all, part of you goes, is that a puzzle? Is that a puzzle? Oh, is that a puzzle? Like, everything has the potential to be something. It's that idea that everything counts. Like, the one that we haven't cracked yet, and Craig and I were talking about it this afternoon, is that there are globes in certain rooms, and underneath them is a compass. And the compass is always pointing in a different direction, depending on what room you're in or where the room is placed. As of right now, because we broke our rule, Up until last week, we said, hey, let's not Google anything unless we absolutely have to. I feel that we've crossed that line now where the only, like, we're in adventure game territory where the only way to suss out the thing is just some elaborate fucking bullshit that I have no way have confidence that I could have that complete thought or see all the bits that I need to build it confidently. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if I'm like, there, I'm like, I know there's a step here I'm missing and I can't find it or I can't seem to work it out, and I'll give it as many goes as I can until I go, all right, let's take a look. But I thoroughly love it. It's free on PS Plus. For the fact that it's, you know, quote unquote, free as part of your PS Plus, it's all right. Let's try it again. It's included as part of your PS Plus subscription. Highly recommend it. Go check it out, Max. I assume you haven't touched it, and as you've said, you've not played anything else this week.
Yeah, no, I haven't played. I haven't played it.
So you didn't return today's gone?
No, I literally. So I've been, because I've been doing early morning shit, I've literally been going to work pretty much straight after dinner. Yeah. And then getting home at like 1 o'clock in the morning, passing out.
Which I look, have it. For you, as someone who had worked overnights in the past, very, very infrequently compared to yourself, I'm glad that you're slowly transitioning your schedule into probably kind of a more real one. When I say real, I mean more in line with everybody else.
it's just one of those things of like, if I go to work straight after dinner, I don't have me time.
Yeah, that is the only catch, yeah.
So, but obviously with my mum being here as well, I want to get up in the morning and hang out and spend the most of my time with her because I don't get to see her that often.
Yeah, because even though she's there to she's there and she will help by looking after your kids and so you can have that sleep, it's kind of the same. Like, you might sleep a little bit. Like, she'll, you know, look after Ollie in the morning for you, which is lovely.
Well, I've given up my... Ali and I have given up our room to mum. Oh, Ali's nice. Currently bunking in with Hadley. So I'm actually sleeping on the couch. And then every morning I hear as my son just runs in the hallway and it just fucking smacks me on the stomach. And then he'll climb up on the couch and give me a cuddle.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Because originally I was going to be like, I'll do school drop-offs with you. And then if I'm still tired, I'll just come and crash in Hadley's room. I'll just sleep for another hour or so.
Yeah.
But with the way I function, once I'm up, I'm up. Yes, it doesn't really matter how long I've been asleep for. And then in the afternoon, I'll start getting tired, and then I'll feel that burnout. Like this afternoon, I crashed it. I think I fell asleep on the couch at 12:30, woke up at 2:30.
That in mind, it's already an hour deep into the episode, Max. Let's just keep it going. Let's get into the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
Oh, this week in PlayStation, Sony has announced a new first-party studio named Team LFG, or Looking for Group.
Yeah, not Let's Fucking Go, which would have been a wait. Wait, I have a feeling that I reckon they're doing it on purpose, right?
Which has spun out of Bungie. So you may recall this dev has been an open secret for a while. Back when Bungie went through a series of layoffs, it was speculated that Sony had taken a group of talented developers under its wing as it worked on a project known as Gummy Bears. That game is said to be a blend of MOBA-style gameplay with Super Smash Bros. That sounds absolutely terrible. And some details actually leaked earlier this year. While Team LFG hasn't showcased any gameplay as part of its studio reveal, it has described what it's up to. Quote, our first game is a team-based action game that draws inspiration from fighting games, platformers, MOBAs, life sims, and frog-type games, end quote. Players will inhabit a light-hearted comedic world set in brand new mythic science fantasy universe. We can't wait to reveal more. If you're hoping this team will one day develop blockbuster single-player experiences like The Last of Us and God of War, you're out of luck. It's all about interactive social spaces. Some of its staff have worked on releases like Rec Room and Roblox, for example. Quote, we'll make an immersive multiplayer world propelled by action games that players can learn, play, and master for countless hours. We want to build our games with communities, inviting players to be part of our development process through early access playtesting. It's critical that we stay nimble enough to react to player feedback, not just in our lead up to launch, but throughout live service as we continue to grow the game and community for years to come.
Max, well, I'll let you go first because you're the multiplayer guy compared to myself.
I don't know what the fuck a MOBA style Super Smash Brothers would look like, or what a frog type game is.
I think the frog. So I was listening to Sacred Symbols.
I'm assuming it has to be an acronym,
it's
an right?
It's an internal. It looks to be an internal reference. There is no record outside of this announcement of a frog type game. So it's clearly something internal, as part like an internal reference to whatever they're working on.
I have nothing on this until I see what's going on. Like, it's cool that the people that were going to be fired from Bungie kind of got moved over here. Like, that's good that people have kept their jobs. But as to what they are going to make, it sounds like they're going to make that party style Mario Party, or I think Xbox had Fusion Frenzy, I think it was, back in the day. Cool, I guess. But until we see it, who knows?
Yeah, so for myself, like where I sit, it's a bit of a challenge. It's something difficult. Couple of reasons. One, I don't really play MOBAs. I don't play multiplayer games often. So the audience that this game is trying to appeal to is not me. And that's fine. And I would say, honestly, it is kind of not in line with what the average PlayStation, the average hardcore deep into the PlayStation ecosystem, like myself and you, Max, or anyone else, even probably the folks that are listening to this, it may not align with them. So as a result, there has been a lot of contention online since this team got announced around why is Sony doing this? Why would they do this? Especially after the failing of Concord, etc. Now, what I'm about to say is kind of in line with what the team over at Sacred Symbols have said. And a lot of it's because I kind of agree with what they said. I'm just being aware that it can be repetitive. Sony need to do these kinds of games. And the main reason being is this is what tests them so that then they can make a fucking good one. Right now, they have to go through that trial and error. The options are they either completely outsource it and therefore it's never internal, and all the benefits of having an internal first-party studio set up are then lost to play the games that are stereotypically, you know, with the amount of people that be like, oh man, PlayStation only ever make like third person over the shoulder action adventure sad dad sims, right? And that is true. And as like a former sad dad, fuck yeah, it's exactly my kind of game. And it's part of the reason why I love PlayStation so much. But I know the platform isn't made just for me. It's made for hundreds and millions of people. So who am I to be like, hey, don't make this game? Because that is good business practice. Making these style of games and making them for that audience is awesome. Now, granted, the only thing that piques my interest is the life sims. I love me a good life sim. And what this tells me is this is going to be, pardon me.
PlayStation Home's coming back, baby.
Kind of. I read this as kind of like a not an extraction game per se, but the idea is you have a home base that you get to deck out and you get to have some fun with and make it your own, and like maybe you get some sort of very basic farming systems, some fishing systems, building, crafting, stuff like that, and that would fall within that life sim space. How you combine that with like a fighting game or in the Smash Brothers and a MOBA, I'm yet to work out. But I'm not a dev.
Okay, so what I'm thinking that this is not so much a here's where we make the games that could possibly fail so we can make the good ones when we need to. I see this more as a stocking stuffer development team.
Yeah, possibly. And like this is them getting their reps in, right?
These are the courses that you take between the main courses of the big devs. So instead of waiting 5 years between PlayStation first party releases, we can get some fun party games to tie us over to be like, ah, oh, what are Sony doing? Oh, well, they're making this over here. They're doing this over here now. This is coming out soon, as opposed to here's Spider-Man in 2020 and here's the next one in 2028.
Yeah, and like, yeah, those little palate cleansers, these little refreshers, little munchies along the path could be worse.
Yeah.
Could be worse. But having a look as those games, you mentioned, you know, the games that PlayStation are most known for are those big action adventures. And probably the biggest PlayStation, not even a first party, probably the PlayStation exclusive to come out of this year, second to Ghosts of Yotei, is Death Stranding 2 on the Beach. Now, this week, a bunch of preview content came out for Death Stranding 2 on the Beach. However, alongside that, they announced another limited edition DualSense. And the pre-orders for this are available as of the 22nd of May on PS Direct. I'm unsure whether it's available on EB Games or JB Hi-Fi as we
speak. Yeah, I'm not sure yet either.
So this controller, which was designed in collaboration with Kojima Productions, is jet black with the Drawbridge, which is the new company within Death Stranding. Formerly it was Bridges. Drawbridge is Bridges was the idea of bridging landmasses, where Drawbridge is about connecting continents, as we came to learn this week. with the Drawbridge insignia emblazoned in orange across the touchpad. It does look okay.
I don't know if I like it. I don't know if I like it at all.
But look, the controller will be $134 Australian, so it's quite expensive. But that's the cost of gaming, and it will be launching alongside the game on the 26th of June.
24th if you're buying the deluxe edition.
Oh, 24th if you want early access, which we probably will because I want that game so bad. The controller, it sits in a weird space for me. I like the simpler designs. It is not as vomit-looking as, say, the Fortnite controller. I think it sits very similarly to the Helldivers controller or possibly even the Astrobot controller.
I think that the Fortnite controller is the most aesthetically correct to the game that it's promoting.
Oh, that's true. Oh, actually, no. The Spider-Man controller is pretty sexy. And it aligns with Spider-Man.
You mean this one?
Yeah, my one's with my kid because it's his.
I agree. The Spider-Man one, despite the fact that I use it daily, I forgot that the Spider-Man one is right on brand.
Yeah. I like the Death Stranding DualSense, DualShock 4, I should say, from the PS4 was awesome. It was see-through. It was that yellow, very similar to that of the BB, which we see, you know, Porter Bridges. What's his first name?
Jeff. No, it's not Jeff.
Norman Reedus. I want to say Nathan Porter Bridges. That makes no sense because it's not that. No. Carl, no.
Carl. Sam.
Sam, yeah, Sam Porter Bridges. So the BB we see with Sam, so the controller kind of matched that. The limited edition PS4 was white with the BT hands on it. Looked great. Am I going to buy this? Probably not, because it's $135. Do I want to? Probably. Because I quite like, you know, black... simple controllers, like easy design. Like the Last of Us one, I actually really liked just because it was simple and it was, you know, two-tone. I like it. But what's most interesting, Max, now very similar to that of Doom the Dark Ages, I haven't dived deeply into the preview coverage because I want to try to experience the game as raw as I possibly can.
I've not watched any of the preview stuff for Death Stranding 2 outside of the headlines of Straya.
Yeah, so this is where it's interesting. So over a couple of days, almost a week, Kojima Productions gave reviewers, which is include the likes of Press Start, if you're here in Australia, or SkillUp, where they were given 30 hours of hands-on time with Death Stranding 2 on the Beach. 30 hours. And the, you know, once again, with that in mind, if it was like, oh, we played 3 hours, I probably watched that preview coverage. But 30 hours, like, come on, man, that's a little bit much. Saying that, though, as you said, one of the key bits of information to come out of this in Death Stranding 2, you jump continents and you spend time in Australia. Now, is this because Leo Stevenson gave it a 3 out of 10 in the review cycle for Death Stranding 1? Probably. Or is it because George Miller's in the game and that to explain why there's a real super Australian accent in the game? Probably that also. Max, for you, the idea of Death Stranding coming to Australia, because once again, Death Stranding 1 was all about connecting the US. It's about going from one side to the other.
If there's no... what was that pendant called that we used to connect the things?
The BT key. They weren't BT keys, but like...
Look, if there's no connection point in a fucking Telstra phone booth, like, I'm done.
Look, I love that this is the... does it have a name?
It was the chiral, the chiral.
The chiral. That's right. You are correct. So I do wonder, but it does also make me have, you know, it gives me some.
Am I going to be like climbing up a mountain and get like drop kicked by a kangaroo?
Yeah, there's kangaroos in it.
Picage.
So like all those BT monsters, you know, like in the first like big cat, just a kangaroo. Big Skippy just jacking up. It is a shame that in order for us to get effective broadband rollout, an NBN rollout, it has to happen at the end of the fucking world and Norman Reedus has to come do it. Because that's apparently the only way that Australia is going to be fucking connected correctly. And it's bullshit. But I want to play that game so fucking bad. Like so, so goddamn bad.
Well, speaking of playing the games, especially for long sessions, the longer your individual play session in Oblivion Remastered is, the worse the game performs, according to tech experts over at Digital Foundry. In a post-launch test conducted across all platforms, including the base PS5 and the PS5 Pro, the outlet reveals a potential memory leak in the game is resulting in a gradual decrease in performance relating to the frame rate. Even on a fresh boot, Digital Foundry highlights how the 60 frames per second target isn't always met, and actually becomes a rarity the longer your session is left active. In a comparison between a freshly booted save compared to one that had only been left running for 15 minutes, Digital Foundry experienced as much as a 15 frames per second difference, where what it refers to as a, quote, charged playthrough, end quote, was running at around 45 frames per second while the fresh boot was at 59. The longer you leave your session running, the camera on horseback shifts to where you can hardly see your character or steed whilst riding. Essentially, the outlet suggests resetting the game every 15 minutes or so to avoid these issues on the current build. Digital Foundry states the game, quote, urgently needs a proper patch to solve these issues across all platforms, while sharing praise for the remaster's marketing, marking the chance to revisit an RPG classic. The outlet states it's not being, quote, done justice when so much technical baggage gets in the way of your experience.
What I love about this is the community, like the larger conversation piece last week and the week before when the game dropped was, this isn't a remaster, this is a remake. I'm like, no, it isn't. It's absolutely not. Like, it from a remastered standpoint, it's exactly that. It's a complete coat of paint on the bullshit innards. This is not the first time that the Elder Scrolls series has done this. I remember in Skyrim, pardon me, on the PS3, if your save file exceeded 8 megabytes, it just corrupted. It went, and it just died. So there is clearly some problem within the PlayStation architecture. And now granted, the PS3 makes sense for, you know, as everyone talks about PS3 cell architecture made it a whole string of challenges to port to. Even with a more universally workable system, that apparently the creation engine, which is the engine that is used excuse me, to build the Elder Scrolls games or even Bethesda Softworks games, whether it be Fallout, Elder Scrolls, etc. It's fucking busted and is absolutely due. Now, like, that's me with my understanding. It's very likely that during the transition of rebuilding it into Unreal Engine 5, this has presented itself. Not ideal.
Well, my understanding is that the creation engine is sitting inside
Unreal, yeah?
Unreal. So it's still got the same skeletons. It's got a fresh skin on it.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. The skin is brilliant, but clearly the skin is impacting the game. Is it ideal that you may have to stop and refresh the game every 15 minutes? No. But this is the challenge of shadow dropping a game. Right?
I mean, it's essentially like, you're just playing on, what is it? Graphic mode. Graphic mode only gets to 45 frames per second anyway. You just pretend like you're not playing in performance mode. You'll be right.
Yeah. Look, it's challenging, but just look, heads up for those playing, because I'm playing still, loving it. But yeah, I can't say that I've noticed the degradation of performance over time. But my TV supports VRR, and I have auto ALLM switched on, so it automatically does its best to try adjust the frame rate and experience the best it can at any given time. So maybe I'm just not experiencing it because of the TV that I'm playing on. And you're playing on PC, so it doesn't matter.
I am playing on PC and I haven't noticed too much of an issue. Can I read the next story as well? Because I could totally make this a quick bit. So as everyone knows, Microsoft acquired mega publisher Activision Blizzard for an industry-changing $70 billion 18 months ago. Turns out the FTC are still being like, oi, this should not be okay. we're going to go to the Ninth Circuit Court to get this overturned. And they basically went, nah, they applied the correct legal standards. It's still standing. So the FTC have, it looks like they've lost their appeal. Whether they continue to fight this remains to be seen. But as it stands, the deal that was made 18 months ago is still going to stand.
The larger question is fucking why? Why are they still chasing it? It's done. Because
but they're saying that if the court had have overturned it, it would have put an injunction on it and blah blah blah, and unraveled the deal.
But hasn't the funds already been transferred?
I don't know how. I doubt it. I doubt they paid $70 million straight up. I guarantee it's probably a multi-year deal that they've got to pay off over the course of.
However, yeah, and there'd be various, like, it's not as simple as money, his company.
Yeah.
But a big hunk of it must have already gone through, right? Like, they can keep... Now, granted, my initial reservations around the whole FTC thing has certainly altered since we're now getting access to pretty much everything, and those floodgates from Microsoft have dropped. And
well, the fact that Microsoft is now just a publisher everywhere.
Yeah, so like they can own them, don't give a shit, right? They did
exactly what they said they were going
to
do.
Yeah, to their credit, which is absolutely true. Like now, I will stay here and I'll stand here and I will say, hand on heart, it appears I was wrong. I was very much in the belief that they would lock down most of it, or at least the big hitters, and then just try to go that deep lockdown, paid walled garden experience. Microsoft haven't been doing that at all. Like, they are...
They are apparently shipping Doom on with only 85 megabytes of data on its disk to PlayStation users, so you'll have to download.
Well, that's just the general physical media experience at large now. But this is also part of the quick bits, but Gears of War is finally, because it was originally going to come over on PS3, is coming to PS5 on the 26th of August as Gears of War Reloaded. So not the Ultimate Edition, which was the original remaster. Apparently it's been remastered again. It's getting the Skyrim treatment.
It's just the first game.
And it is just the first game, which is smart because they're going to be able to resell all fucking four and then drop E-Day across all platforms at the same time. So yeah, my original reservations and concerns were absolutely wrong. Here I am. Hi, Ryan, host of PlayStation Podcast. I was fucking wrong. Microsoft aren't doing Microsoft things, even though like I said, at the time, I was confident that Phil Spencer was full of shit. which is still, it still appears to be the case. However, the powers that be have removed Phil Spencer as an active contributor. And they are no longer running the ship, as you can see. So for myself, cool. Cool. Like I said, I am willing to be like, hey, it happened. The world hasn't come to an end yet. Probably should just let it be at this point. You're fighting for no reason at this time. All right, Max, quick booties. And taking notes. Mafia, the old country, has itself a release date. It is coming out this year on August 8th, and it is a linear, non-open world experience. So, Max, you and I in the past, we reviewed the remaster of Mafia 2 and the remake of Mafia 1. Mafia 2 was that it felt very much like the early days open world experience, as it was very bare bones world and you drove from A to B. But Mafia 1, which I remember highlighting as an absolute strength of the game, it is mission to mission story delivery. And it appears that Mafia Old Country is doing the same. And I felt that the Mafia 1 was a much better playable experience.
It felt much more coherent.
Correct, yeah. So for myself, that bit of news, not a bad thing. You in the same boat?
Yep.
Excellent. So Control 2, its budget, although not as big as Alan Wake 2, but Remedy is still confident that it will be excellent. Of course, we have the FTC Outbreak something game. The other game in the Control universe coming out later in the year as part of PlayStation Plus. So that'll tide us over until then. Pardon me. Split Fiction has reached 4 million units sold. Well done. That's single units. So that's not friend passes.
No, apparently it's... They have sold 4 million units.
And about 6 to 8 weeks out from release, Death Stranding 2 has gone gold ahead of its June 26 release. Also the 24th, if you are wanting early access. Of course, I want to play the crap out of that game. Now that it's gone gold, I'm going to be totes emailing PlayStation Australia. Be like, yo.
While Death Stranding 2 is still far off, here are the games coming to a PlayStation this week. On the 13th of May, we have Death End Request Codes Z coming to PS5, PS4. We have Labyrinth of the Demon King, PS5, PS4. Palia.
Oh, PS5. What? Okay, so yeah. Palia is this cool little, like, cozy life farming sim game that I played on PC, and it was free to play on PC. I don't know if it's free to play still, but fuck yeah.
We have Slender, The Arrival VR, coming to PSVR 2, and we have The Precinct on PS5. On the 14th of May, we have Super Engine GT Turbo Spec, coming to PS5, PS4. 15th of May, we have American Arcadia, PS5, PS4. City Bus Manager, and typo there, PS5, PS4. We have Doom the Dark Ages, PS5. Get Out, A Very Bad Dreams Story, PSVR 2.
You've written, Story You!
It definitely doesn't have a U at the end. Nebulous Ray, PS4. Shovel Knight Dig, PS5.
Oh, that's getting a port to the new console.
Smash Drums, PSVR 2. And Yasha, Legends of the Demon Blade, PS5, PS4. Finally, on the 16th of May, we have Capcom Fighting Collection 2 coming to PlayStation 4. And Neon Apex Beyond the Limit coming to PlayStation 5.
All right, I'm going to have a quick look at this Smash Drums. As I am a sucker for a good fucking, like what's the game?
A good drum VR game.
Like a good fucking bullshit music game, like a Rock Band or a Guitar Hero.
A rhythm game.
A rhythm game. It's probably the most accurate descriptor. This looks to be more kind of, what's the other one that's available? There's that other VR game that's a drumming game. What is it called? Drums
Real
Rock.
Drummer?
Drums Rock.
Drums Rock.
The only challenge I have with these games is they force you to play the kick drum with your hand because they can't match your foot. And that frustrates me because that's not how you play drums at all.
Correct.
But I'll still probably check it out. Clearly, the big one of the week is your Doom the Dark Ages, closely followed by Palia, and then City Beast Manager. And if you're really keen, get out a very bad Dreams Story. That feels racist. Let me check. Wait, hang on. Let's do a quick screenshot. Have I been disgusting? Which the answer is probably yes. Get out a very... Is it super weeby? Oh,
no. No, because it doesn't have a U at the end of it.
Oh.
You fuckhead.
Look, the game's like fucking $12 with PS Plus. I reckon this game's going to be butts. Let's have a look. Is it? It's on Metacritic? Is it an oldie? Okay. Well... Oh, it's got a three. Nope, that's something else. I don't know. That looks a little bit poo. I might play it if it's, especially if it's $12, just for funsies. But excuse me, man, I've just had to clear my throat all the time. Now, Max, it sucks for you because I've just coughed in your ear for essentially an hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm used to it by now, mate.
Yeah, sorry about that. Anyway, that does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you everyone for joining in and coming and being part of the chat. I hope you enjoyed our Jesus Christ, really long discussion around Doom at the Doom the Dark Ages. Be sure to join us next week as we head further into the game. We'll have more to say, but yeah, what is there anything else happening this week that we'd like is of note for next week's episode?
Let me have a look. Not that what, I can think of.
What number are we up to, by the way?
We're close to 400. Was it
we are dangerously. Like, so this is 393, right? We are 7 weeks away from 400 episodes of this show. That is insane.
Which is crazy because I was here for episode 200 as well. So I think.
Yeah, so you're pretty much. You are now.
I think I'm now the longest running.
Yeah, except for me. Yeah, because I've been in every episode. And
yeah.
Then it would have been Josh. Well, now it's you, then Josh, then Jono. Padge, then Jono. Maybe. But we haven't had Padge or Jono on in a very, very long time. It would be nice to have Padge. Maybe you can get Padge as part of the Last of Us season review. Maybe. It's been a while. We were originally.
Well, we can't get him for Death Stranding 2 because I don't think he's played the first one yet.
What a fuck.
Which is absolutely insane, but whatever.
What a fuck. All right, let's get out of here.
All righty, everyone, you know the drill. This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future conversations, you can come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X, all of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We watch us record this show live where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other sort of shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was for the players. In the chat, Mute has asked, will Ep 40 have a cake? Will it be a carrot cake? No, it won't, because carrot cake's gross.
Episode 200 had balloons. Like, Ali bought those balloons for episode 200.
I really thought that was episode 300, by the way. Oh, my God. Actually, no.
Ali's like, I'm not buying fucking balloons for you again.
Well, it doesn't. That's the thing. It doesn't really work this time because, like, we're not in that set. That's, like,
fuck set you, up. I can have my own balloons.
Yeah, you can have your balloons. I'd have to get my own balloons. But suddenly, the balloons have doubled in cost. Also, I did go back. I do occasionally miss the old setup. I really, really
just,
do.
Just have Phoebe stand up on the balcony above you, just fucking party
just
popper and down.
Balloons down. Like,
oh, you could totally set up a sheet with balloons on it and then just have the sheet fucking pull
yeah,
out.
Yeah, just like pull it out and then drop. I just get drowned in balloons. All right, we're going to make this happen. Bye, everyone. Mwah.